afternoon, everybody. It is Thursday afternoon, and it is now time for Inside the Eye Live Prime Time.
Hey, Fetch.
Quiet. Go ahead. She's asking a question. Don't be rude. Don't be rude.
Hey, Fetch, did that woman really say you have garnets of steel and a mind like a freaking laser?
Mary, you can't be asking questions like that. This is Inside the Eye Live Prime Time.
Why not? Aren't we broadcasting from the Middle East?
Well, yeah, but we might be seen as being politically incorrect.
You know, the problem is everybody dumps people when there's a sign of political incorrectness.
Etan, you're always politically correct.
Heck, thanks. Does that mean we can talk about dumping the Israelis tomorrow?
Oh, I'm sure you will probably say quite a bit more than that. And now coming to you live from somewhere in the Middle East, this is Inside the Eye Live Prime Time with your host, The Fetch.
All right. Thank you very much for that, Mary from Riyadh. This is indeed The Fetch, and you are listening to Inside the Eye Live Prime Time. Today's date is Thursday, July the 9th. 2020, and a good Thursday afternoon, early evening to all of you listening in the United States and Canada, and a good early morning to all of you listening in European and Asian time zones, and of course, wherever you are listening out there on the World Wide Web or our FM and micro FM broadcasting outlets. May all be well with you and yours. Summer hot as always here in Riyadh as daytime highs hit 112 degrees under sunny skies and very little wind or breeze. We are currently sitting at 92 degrees at just after 1 o'clock in the morning local here, and we're going to be going down to a quite warm 87 degrees in the hour before sunrise. Winds are currently coming in at 10 miles per hour out of the north-northwest, but remember, guys, it's dry heat. It's dry heat, and quite frankly, that's a heck of a lot better than the humid heat. You know, it's 87 degrees, 85, 86, 87 in the area where I live in the Philippines. Haven't been there in a while now, but I'll tell you what, I will take this type of heat, 113 and dry, over the 84, 87 and 85% humidity any day. So that's kind of how it goes. I don't know if you saw the news coming out of Pennsylvania, but some kind of sad news. A lightning strike has killed actually a pair of guys who were struck again by lightning in Granville Township, Pennsylvania. That occurred this past Monday, marking the state's first lightning fatalities in over a year. Now, I'm going somewhere with this story, guys, so bear with me. Now, according to the Bradford County Coroner, Thomas Carman, the men were standing in an open field under a wooden tree stand around 2 o'clock in the afternoon when the lightning struck, and basically they were holding on to a metal ladder. Something like that. Now, that marks the seventh fatality in the United States in 2020. Now, with COVID-19 running so rampant, I think now that perhaps the state officials and the local health officials are going to have to start demanding that everybody who goes to India no longer go outside anymore. It should be like, because for your own protection, because just one state in India has accounted for more than 150, get this, 150 lightning deaths in just 14 days now. That is known as the state of Bihar. It's nestled between Bangladesh and southern Nepal, and it is one of the poorest states in all of India, and it has been absolutely inundated with rounds of rain and thunderstorms since the past last week of June. Now, according to this here, Bihar, India reached 147 deaths in just 10 days' time. Now, I'm surprised. I'm honestly surprised that Fauci hasn't come to us and said, the narrative might be changing. It might not be healthy now to go outside when it's raining, especially if there's lightning and thunder. It's very risky. Well, in India, I guess you could say it is. So maybe we're going to look for maybe the World Health Organization or perhaps the National Institute of Health issuing health warnings for basically India and thunderstorms. Now, in the neighboring Uttar Pradesh region, there has been over 200 people, killed by lightning since April of this year. So you're talking about 350 people dying just from lightning in two different states in India, man. Now, in 2018, this is how bad it is, guys. 2,357 people died in the whole of India in 2018 due to lightning strikes. Now, where is Tony Fauci? Where's Mrs. Scarfhead? They should be complaining to the American embassy, asking that we basically shut down all travel to India during these lightning periods, because, as you know, it's all for your safety. Now, there's been an, that's not just it. See, you know, coronavirus is so deadly. It's very deadly. And, you know, now they're coming out with new scare stories. I've heard somewhere in some place, in some place called the UK, you've got some quote-unquote neurologist saying that COVID-19 causes massive brain damage in some people. Well, tell you what, Mr. and Mrs. State and local and international and national health officials, so does listening to all of your garbage about what you say all the time. I can't stand a lot of what I see going on, quite frankly, especially with Fauci. I swear, Fauci is a sleaze bag. Somebody ought to just take this guy down and waterboard him and say, what did you know about this and when did you know it? Because it sounds to me like Fauci's in on some pretty dirty stuff here. But that's not all, guys. You can't even go outside in India, according to Fauci, you know, because we got to protect everybody. Did you know? I didn't even know this, but there has been 1.2 million people. That's 1.2 million people have died. That's right. Get out your Tony Fauci, let's protect everybody nanny state. But they've died from snake bites in the past 20 years in India. Do you realize that's like 500,000 a year, something like that. So basically, it's very dangerous even to be in India, apparently. You can get struck by lightning. There's a high chance, like a 1 in 250 chance in your lifetime in India, that you're actually going to be bitten by a snake. And get this, there's 5.4 million snake bites a year around the world. You know, that's still more than what we have in the COVID world. 100,000 people die every year from snake bites. 100,000 people die. 400,000 people are left disabled by their injuries. But I don't hear the states calling for the shutdown of the global economy, because if you go to India, you might get step on a snake or something and you might die. You know, it could be very serious here. So, again, the whole point of this story is, look, first, it's bizarre, 150 people dying in 2 weeks in India. That's pretty amazing. Due to lightning strikes, that's kind of cool. Not cool, actually, if you know what I mean. And then another state, you got another 139 or so. That's pretty amazing stuff. But at the end of the day, there are no guarantees to life on planet Earth. It's very simple. You can walk outside tomorrow. You can be hit by a car. You can take your kid to the doctors and he can kill your kid with a vaccine. You know, there's just no guarantees. In fact, I've heard that child deaths are down 30% now. Child deaths are down 30%. And why? Because they're not getting vaccinated. That tells us that the medical industry is killing people. The medical industry is committing mass genocide against the children of the United States, and this is being borne out now by the COVID-19 crisis. This means that, quite frankly, parents should be very, very, again, it's parents' responsibility more than anybody else. They should be getting together. They should be organizing. They should be doing whatever they have to do to protect their children. You know, when I grew up, I think we had 4 shots, something like that. I still got the scar on my, on one of these arms. I don't know. Maybe it's gone. But anyways, I can't see it. But nonetheless, you know, we only had like 2 to 4 when I was a kid growing up, 1962, and we were like impressively healthy. And nowadays, kids are so sick. Again, the medical institutions, the medical industry in America, the medical international medical industry, quite frankly, it's a criminal syndicate. I think now, after the COVID-19 crisis here, what has been exposed is the criminality of the medical institutions, of the FDA, of the CDC. For instance, pretty much everywhere around the world, hydroxychloroquine and a couple the anti-malarial drug that's been being used to treat COVID-19 patients all over the world. But somehow our politicians, actually they're health officials acting as politicians, have declared that, you know, you can't even use hydroxychloroquine. So we have to ask ourselves, how many deaths are occurring because Governor Whitmer, Witless Whitmer, this communist sycophant up in Michigan, forbade people from using it as if she's somehow a doctor? How about the FDA? How about the CDC? How about all the criminality we have seen coming out of these various organizations? What we're learning here is it's not defund the police that's so important. And I'm not necessarily against going after some of these police forces. I know what they did to me and I know what they do to others. A lot of these people are complete jackasses. Yeah, you got the good street cop and yeah, he's got the good image. But guys, deep down, there's a lot of crap going on inside of the police departments. And let's just call it for what it is. Let's be honest and ethical about this. But you look at the other institutions of state, the FDA, the CDC, should not these be absolutely defunded? In fact, should not the vast majority of the federal government institution or bureaucracy be basically defunded? Are we looking at a situation now that we really need to defund really the government itself? Well, they're doing a good job by themselves. Let's be honest. They're doing a great job because there's no tax revenues coming in. They're defunding themselves at probably the fastest rate we've ever seen in our lifetimes. And I suspect that the reason why they want to defund a lot of these various institutions like the police is because, quite frankly, they don't have money. They don't want to tell you that, but they don't have money. So basically, that's kind of what's happening out there, guys. Defund, defund, defund. And we get more chances now to defund because we heard just this past June, President Trump, I think on June 20th or June 22nd, something like that, he cut the H-1B visa, scenario, you know, the regimen for the H-1B visas. Now, he put a freeze in effect. That went into effect June the 24th, something like that. So anybody who is currently in the United States was not going to be affected, but it was absolutely going to affect anybody trying to get into the country. And it did provide some exemptions for people in the, like say, the education world, J-1 visas, that's postdoctoral researchers, or let's say some professors, things like that. But the interesting thing here is that you don't hear a lot about it. There's not a lot of even support for it for the most part, even in Trump's base. But you do have some movement in the immigration area. You have now something like 188,000 H-1B visas were issued, I think last year, something to that effect. Just 188,000 just last year. I think we have over 500,000. People on H-1B visas here. And the problem with the H-1B visa, guys, is it goes to another one of our enemies, and that's big tech. Apple, Microsoft, Google, Twitter. A lot of these major companies are using this H-1B low-skill tech because they're cheaper. You can buy two of those for the price of others. And none of these people care about the American way of life. None of these people care about American values. None of these people care about things like free speech. And this is an issue. You know, it's funny. The only people in America that really seem to care about free speech as an overall demographic are traditional Americans, aka white Americans. They're the only ones that actually seem to care as an aggregate demographic. So guess what? all of this attack on free speech, it's an attack on traditional America. It's an attack on white America. And that's really what we see happening here today. We are seeing a full-on attack against white America from CNN, from MSNBC, from the Democratic National Committee, all the way down through the various infrastructures like the education system. We are seeing an attack on white America. You know, it's very frustrating to watch a lot of these immigrants literally complaining about racism in a country they didn't found, they barely have contributed to as people, especially long term. They have not really been involved in the culture of America, apparently, and yet they want to complain to a lot of us who are Americans about our country. And I'm just like, you know what? You are equally free to leave the country. Nobody's saying you have to stay. You stay because you benefit from what European Americans have built for you. And that's a very true statement. They are benefiting from that. In fact, let me get something very clear to a lot of you out there. If you are not adhering to a European American level of standard, quite frankly, you're seen as being substandard. Because the gold standard, whether you like it or not, is European American standard. I know, I'm an expat, I'm out there. I know how people look at the American people. I know how they treat the American people. They'll give them a little bit of respect, but if you're not gold standard, if you don't have a very high level of dedication to your job, dedication to professionalism, dedication to doing things right, hard work, stick-to-itiveness, innovation on the job, always being able to adapt to whatever circumstances come your way, you ain't seen as being all that much of a traditional American. See, this traditional American ideal is something that we have to instill into the future generations. And we need to not necessarily give it to the other races since they seem to hate the whitey so much. But it's something now with this COVID-19 thing. We have seen perhaps one of the greatest holes inside of the American system, and that's the education system. The Harvards, the Yales, the Columbias, all of these major institutions that have become basically snowflake, liberal, communist breeding grounds. And you know, we've been paying a lot of money to these people for a really, really long time. I heard something to the effect, talking to some guy out of Texas this past week, and he said, you know, how do we get to where we are today? He said, you know, Dennis, back in the 1970s, it was about 3-2, early 1970s, liberal professors to conservatives. So basically, when you were going to college in the 70s, it was something you could basically get half of each side and you could draw your own opinion. By the 1980s, it soon became 3-1, 5-1, 7-1. Today, the liberal to conservative professorship ratio is something like 130-1. There's no diversity on our campuses. It's just a leftist sinkhole. It is a leftist trash bin. There is no diversity on campus anymore. We don't have intelligent intelligentsia anymore. We have an agenda-driven, racist, hate-filled professorship class that simply is there to indoctrinate the children moving forward. And what do we end up with? A bunch of idiots standing on freeways getting mowed down by cars because basically someone told them to go play on the freeway and they took it literally. How many times years ago would we tell, hey, Johnny, why don't you go play on the freeway, right? And, of course, nobody took them seriously. Nowadays, you tell these kids, hey, go play on the freeway, and they take it seriously. Okay, all you have to do is call it a protest, and we're going to go, let's go play on the freeway, because that's all this is. And they're complaining, at least the news is, that car attacks are up. What type of stupidity, again? Where did we get these, quote-unquote, these journalists? We got them from this 131-1 ratio leftist nutcase school house, I guess insane asylum, called the American University System. 130 to 1. And the journalists are out there saying nowadays, first of all, hey, little Susie, first of all, I know you're no longer a woman anymore. You know, you're like kind of like this non, what is it? I don't even know, man. Non-gender, fluid gender nutcase. You don't even know who the hell you are anymore. You don't even know what the hell you are anymore. But you know what? Why don't you go protest on the freeway? It's got a better ring than telling him to go play on the freeway. Just tell him to go protest on the freeway and he'll go do it. And now the media is complaining that car attacks are up. What do you mean car attacks are up? Did I just read another idiot from the mainstream media? There's been 66 car attacks. Cars keep trying to run into protesters. First of all, let's be clear about what's going on in America, man. Stay off the streets. Nobody said play on the streets, okay, first of all. Second of all, we all know that protesters or those nutcases playing on the streets and our freeways, they're violent. They are dangerous. They are basically not somebody you can rely on to have any type of mercy when it comes to dealing with the drivers of these cars. They are being trained how to break the windshields, how to literally cut people's seat belts so you can drag them out of their cars if they don't quote unquote comply for you. This to me, quite frankly, is open-ended or an open statement of war against the American driver, the American people. I'm of the stage that this is gonna go hot, guys, when it comes to the Civil War. It's a Civil War. When you got a bunch of nutcase idiots out there, playing on the streets, or playing protester on the street, cause they don't know what the hell they're doing. These guys basically are the brainchild, the end product of a 130-to-1 liberal to conservative education system. These guys are complete idiots. They're barely human. They're barely functioning anymore. They're basically just a bunch of dolts shouting out a bunch of slogans that mean absolutely nothing at the end of the day. What the hell does Black Lives Matter really mean? Nothing. It means nothing. It means that these people are so stupid they don't understand the bigger picture. They just say, gimme, 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 gimme. Why don't they just say ghetto lives matter and make it clear? Because that's basically what you're saying. The ghetto matters, nobody else matters, and the ghetto produces nothing. 66 car attacks. And it all has to do because you got a group of brain dead, stupid, educated. Hey, they're educated. They went to college. You boy. Playing on the streets. They're playing protester on the streets. And if you don't give them their due, they're going to try to shoot you or tear you out of your car or whatever. And quite frankly, to those listening out there, I don't give a damn what happens to any of these people who are playing protesters on the streets. If you're that stupid, quite frankly, because I know what I would do. I'm going to do my best to not drive into these situations if I'm actually in a situation. I'm not going to like go into it. I'm going to turn around. It's kind of like when I'm on streets and I got a bad vibe from a couple black guys. I'm not going to just walk next to them. I'm going to cross the street. I don't care what they think. My safety and my intuition is part of my DNA, which is part of our survival instincts. I'm going to listen to my survival instincts. I'm not going to sit there and allow what basically is a ghetto gangbanger to just have a free shot and you got 2-3 of those sitting around. I'm not just going to walk into that. I've been there, done that, everybody. I'm kind of street smart. I don't know if you heard, there was a judge in California. He had to resign. Cancel culture is alive and well. And why did he have to resign? Because he called somebody street smart. Well, hell, street smart, that would have been a compliment years ago. Somebody who's street smart. Give me someone street smart over a brain dead, stupid Antifa moron any day. I'll take the street smart guy any day because we'll be able to, if we're on the same team, at least they're going to know how to move. It's a huge problem we see in America today because the divide intellectually between the educated class and the new indoctrinated class, they're not educated, the new indoctrinated class, is so wide that we're looking at essentially either A, we're going to have to do what? Re-indoctrinate them, put them into education camps. It's funny how they say you need to go into one because you actually have some common sense. But the reality is that, as many listeners out there have pointed out, in today's world, if you want to understand really what is happening, just inflate or not inflate, but invert everything 180 degrees. Whatever is being said, it's the opposite. If it's an anti-racist rally, it's a racist rally. If it's an anti-Semitic type of thing, I can't get into that. I guess it's not the opposite. Jews are idiots. You know, what can we do? I'm waiting for the Middle East to blow up on these guys, by the way. Just be patient. I'm watching it. Anyways, guys, that was our introduction. I don't know. Hey, it's early in the morning here. Back with more after this, everyone. Okay, everybody. Welcome back. It's the Fetch Inside the Eye Live Intelligent Media. Actually, it's Inside the Eye Primetime today, isn't it? Something like that. It's Inside the Eye Primetime. Anyways, welcome back. I can talk. Really, I can talk. It's early morning here, 1:32 in the morning. Hope you're doing well. Just want to say hello quickly, InsideTheEyeLive.com. Click on the live chat button. That will get you in the door. Usually I cannot get in that way, but nonetheless, it is very quiet. It's quiet there. Guys, it's quiet, man. Sometimes I wonder, these Thursday shows, are they working? You know, when it's like that. But guys, good afternoon, huh? I got a Co-Fritz, Blau, Ocean, Numerican, and I did see Frederick there. I believe he was there. So guys, that's about it there. What else? It's, telephone lines, 323-275-1314. That's 1-323-275-1314, something to that effect. And anyways, good afternoon. It's, again, it's very hot here in Riyadh. We're sitting at about 91, something like that. Very hot today. Something like, 113, I think it peaked out, 112, something like that. Very, very warm. But that's, okay. You know, you basically become an air conditioned junkie, but it's very hot. Obviously, if you want to travel during the day, that first little bit of time out there, in the car, it's like pretty deathly hot out there. But nonetheless, they want you to wear your masks and all that type of fun stuff. You know, cancel. Well, first, let me just say it's a listener sponsored and supported radio. It does rely upon your donations to help keep the network alive, up and running. And obviously, without your donations, we're not able to do a whole lot here. So again, we appreciate everything you do for the studio, for, basically the studio, I guess, at this stage. And of course, what you do directly with InsideTheEyeLive.com. But without you, nothing happens. So guys, keep us in your thoughts when you are out there deciding where you want your entertainment money to go. Certainly we provide you with some entertainment. Windmiller, good afternoon. Some entertainment, but also some infotainment. And there's information along with the entertainment. We do our best. Not saying we do it well every week, but we generally do a pretty good job. So whatever you could do to keep these things up and running, guys, it's very, very, very well appreciated. ITIL Cat Report again. We still haven't done it. I promise we will do it. But I got to talk to Erica again over at the Citizen Reporter. We haven't officially started for her yet. She's just finished her website, I understand. So maybe we're about ready to go. So nonetheless, yeah, let's raise the numbers. Yeah, come on, man. It's like, well, it's 14 people in there now. It's okay now in the chat room. This is it, okay as 15, guys. It's still pretty quiet. I'm going to name those one day. One day. Anyways, where was I? It's listener-sponsored. Oh, the ITIL Cat Report. For those of you who enjoy the ITIL Cat Report, two kind of fun things that came out this week. Really today, in fact. We've got some, you know, it's hot. You know, you have to feel bad for animals, pets, or whatever when it's this hot. And if you're a kind of semi-feral, you are hot. Let's be honest. To be a cat living in 113-degree weather and it's 95 at night, it's hot. And I tell you, when you have these hotels, there's generally like, I don't know, 64 thousandths of an inch gap, something like that, between the door, maybe a little bit bigger, but maybe an eighth inch, maybe it's even bigger than an eighth of an inch. But there's this gap between the doors and the walkway, you know, where the door is. So the pressure from all of that air conditioning is blowing out through this tiny little crack, and the kittens will sleep right next to the door. And so basically all that cool air is kind of like flowing out and around the kitten. So today I came home and one of these little champs, he's doing okay. You know, it's hard to survive in these types of situations, believe me. And he was just sitting there. I had a big rollaway type of suitcase, briefcase, filled with computers and electronic gear from doing some recording today at a client's location. And I came back and the kitten didn't even move. It's like, yeah, I know you. You're harmless. I'm not moving, man. So I had to he was taking the spot where you could actually roll things up. And my gear was pretty heavy. So I didn't want to disturb the guy. So I was actually having to carry my thing up the stairs. It's like, come on, dude, move. But I didn't want him to have to move. So I just carried everything in, the poor guy. Meanwhile, over in the Philippines, kind of cute. Emily has decided that she's going to have Bruiser. So we have a new Bruiser. And I'll tell you what, she's very excited because now Bruiser has eyes. She says Bruiser's not blind anymore. So she kind of thinks maybe this is reincarnated Bruiser. And he is so darn friendly and sweet to her. It's absolutely amazing. Of the entire litter, this cat is just entirely sweet. And basically, they've been sleeping with her, and when we're talking on the phone and she starts talking, we got Minkai, which is one of the bigger females now from the recent litter from Pressy, who's now she's gone, of course. But basically, if you can imagine talking and the cat gently puts the paw right over your lips, basically to say, be quiet, it's time to sleep now, please, no more talking. Very cute, kind of fun, but that's kind of what we've been seeing this past week. A lot of cute stuff with the kittens, a lot of cute stuff with the kittens here, but it's hot here, of course, but it's been a lot of fun. The kittens are starting to do well. The cats are actually getting big. I'll tell you, Wiley's amazing. Wiley just doesn't like to sit like normal cats. He likes to lean up and sit like a human. And one of the kittens now is basically sitting the same way. I have no idea what's going on with this. Really, I've never seen this before. But it's a lot of fun. And I'll tell you what, I really am looking to get home as soon as possible just to enjoy some time here. But it's not in the cards anytime soon. The Oive Moment, maybe I can play this here. The Oive Moment, proudly sponsored by at the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show, or now it's called the ACH Show. Ooh, that's a little bit loud. And that should play here. I think that'll go okay.
Oy vey.
Oy vey, everybody.
Oy vey. Hollywood is run by Jews. It's owned by Jews. Very goddamn angry at some of the Jews.
I thrive on boy and tears.
Oy vey.
Oy vey, everybody. Oy vey.
The Oy vey Moment is proudly sponsored by Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, author of The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored. The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored features a rapturous 144,000 words that is replete with additional articles never before seen in print. And after having its distribution banned by Amazon and Lulu, The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored is now available from Andy himself at AndrewCarringtonHitchcock.com. Get your copy today, won't you? Of course, Don't forget to listen to Andy's The Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show, which streams Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock a.m. to 11 o'clock a.m. Eastern on Eurofolk Radio at eurofolkradio.com. To listen, simply visit eurofolkradio.com during showtime and click on the Listen Live link, or visit andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com for Andy's free show archives, which comprises one of the most extensive guest lists in the alternative media. And this week's Oive moment, I think we're first going to go to... Where do we want to go? First of all, let's go, I don't know, maybe to Hollywood. There's a Jewish actor, they're all Jewish. Basically, there's no diversity in acting. It's either blacks or Jews nowadays, or LGBT, basically, in the, you know what I mean, that type of community. And this guy, Jewish actor, just West Wing star Josh Malina, and he was advocating this week for the withdrawal of support for public figures who exhibited anti-Semitic behavior. And I'm like, you know, cancel culture is the product of Jewish political strategy. If you despise cancel culture, you should look no further than the local synagogue. You should look no further than the local Jewish organization. The main power behind cancel culture is Jewish political organization. So for a Jew to come forward and tell us that, hey, we should withdraw support for anybody who is anti-Semitic, why don't Jews really just tell the truth? And you, why don't you understand the truth about what Jews are telling you? Jews are saying that we want to run your countries. We want to destroy your countries. We want you to do whatever the hell we tell you to do. We don't want you to have a say in anything, and you are not allowed to criticize us because we're little GDs on earth. These people are evil. They do not want to have debate. They do not want to compromise. They do not want you to have a say in your own democracy or your own governance, not democracy, your own governance. They essentially want to rule through what is considered to be Talmudic or totalitarian diktats. To listen to these punks, because they're punks. This is a punk mindset. To say, oh, well, if you don't give us Jews our due, we're gonna cancel you. Well, why don't we start canceling Jews? Seriously, it has to get to the point that if you are pro-Semitic, pro or philo-Semitic, you need to be canceled, because that's the war that is now waging before us today. Malina asked on Twitter, why is it so hard to get cancel culture on the line when the problem is anti-Semitism? Is this guy a complete idiot? You realize how many British politicians have been removed from even being able to run because you Jews won't allow any dissent? When I see these guys, I get so furious and angry from a very real sense. These guys are complete loathsome creatures to come at us with this type of arrogance and attitude. How many politicians, we're supposed to pledge allegiance to the frickin' state of Israel just to get a contract? To get a contract from our own states inside of our own country? And this little punk wants to sit there and tell us, quite frankly, that why can't we have more cancel culture? Is this guy for real? Think about it. He is evil. Call this for what it is. In Western civilization, this guy is evil. Speaking more, it says, cancel culture, calling for the canceling or boycotting of individuals who share controversial opinions or display behavior on social media deemed to be offensive. Again, this is all Jewish BS. The canceling results in them being shunned by friends. Again, this is disgusting behavior. This is anti-American behavior. This is not even civilized behavior. This is the behavior of a petty, punk, tyrant society. This is the petty behavior of tyrants. We should view those who preach cancel culture and praise cancel culture and talk about hate speech and talk about anti-Semitism and all these other anti-free speech type of words. We should see this as the epitome of an evil within our midst, and to allow it to prosper will end in the total totalitarian system that is being woven around you. Goes on to say here that Melina's question had 2,600 likes. It sparked a conversation on Twitter and even garnered a response from Jewish comedian Elon Gold. Wow, that's very original. And then it says here, nobody gets canceled for hating Jews. Is this guy out of his mind? Again, is this guy out of his mind? Why is it that this Jew lies so clearly? Just simply straight up lies. Nobody gets canceled. Is he out of his mind? How many tens of thousands of people have lost their accounts because of Jewish intolerance through their social media? And they want to tell us that nobody gets canceled? Seriously? They are the main reason why we have problems today. The main reason of problems in America today is Jewish domination of the political system, Jewish domination of the way in which the political system is allowed to express itself, Jewish domination in social media, Jewish domination in the press. They want to basically tell us how to think, what to say, what we can do. And the problem with them is nobody wants to follow their failed diktats, because that's what it is. Jewish policy, independent of whether they're Jewish or not, are simply pure failures. Very plain and simple, pure failures. Okay, 201 area code. You might want to turn your radio off in the background. Hi, welcome to Inside the Eye Live Prime Time.
Hi, how you doing, Dan? Great show.
Thank you.
I just wanted to interject something, Vanderman here.
Yeah, go ahead.
Jesus Christ would be considered anti-Semitic, wouldn't he? Because he turned over all of the tables and stopped, so they would call him anti-Semitic. Plus, it's been said Jesus Christ was a Palestinian. Right. I want to interject that.
Okay. Okay, thanks. Okay. All right, Dan, thanks so much.
Right.
All right. Yeah, again, I don't know about that stuff, but here's the thing. The point that we're seeing here is that Jews are lying. And it's not even without any shame. There's no embarrassment here. It's a straight up, in your face, slap in your face lie. The idea that nobody gets canceled because they don't like Jews and they don't like Jewish policies and they want to say that Jewish policies are a complete failure. Gee, have you ever tried to fight against the LGBT agenda? I've gotten canceled for that, but that's all part of the Jewish agenda. Of course I've gotten canceled for Jewish things. Ever since Andrew Weave Arnheimer, 2005. Going after everybody that was quote-unquote an anti-Semite. This cancel culture has been around a long time, and of course it's been around even before those days. Says here, Melina's Twitter post came after a number of recent reports highlighting anti-Semitic social media posts by well-known figures, including NFL player Deshaun Jackson, rapper and entrepreneur Sean Diddy Combs, rapper Ice Cube, and real estate mogul Muhammad Hadid, among others. Well, my point here to the Jewish people here is, why don't you start taking responsibility within your culture for the fact that these opinions are out there? You want to sit there as a culture and tell us that we're all supposed to, in the year 2020, take responsibility for slavery that we had absolutely nothing to do with. And yet you Jews don't want to take responsibility for the clear and present violations of our civil rights by sitting there silencing us because you're not happy with the fact that we think your policies suck. Plain up, straight and simple. Your immigration policies have brought on this entire mess. You know what's really interesting? they talk about diversity, 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 right? And they talk about tolerance and tolerance and tolerance. And they talk about tearing down all this historical statues. Well, guess what? None of this would happen if it weren't for Jews creating the diverse environment that created the situation on the ground as it is today. So all of this entire thing should be at the feet of every single Jew. Seeing how Jews want every one of us to pay quote-unquote reparations that they're responsible for in the slavery trade. It's very, 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 very frustrating. Now, I don't even know what this stuff is. Okay, I have no idea what they're talking about with the NFL. The NFL's gone insane. The NFL National Football League in the United States, if you're not familiar with what I'm talking about. They want to play. This is how stupid. This is really how stupid it is getting. The basic economic backbone of sports in America is not necessarily the black community. It's not. They're only 13% of the population, okay? Straight up. They're only 13%. White Americans, typically they say 60, 65, 67, 70% in some areas. Obviously it's higher than that. Other areas it's quite a bit lower. But they're the economic backbone of the American way of life. It should be. It's their country. It's our country. Of course, we should be the economic backbone. We should be. It's, again, it's our country. Who else would it belong to? Should we give it all to the Indians? Should we give it, well, Jews have stolen enough. We know that. When are you Jews going to start paying back for all of the crimes that your ancestors have done through the time? Like the Bolshevik Revolution, etc. I know, we're supposed to feel guilty, right? Well, a lot of us aren't feeling guilty right now. We're feeling as if you Jews don't care about humanity at all. We are starting to feel that all you Jews want to do is bring down everybody's cultures to that of sleaze and slime, because basically being sleaze and slime yourself, that's about the level at which you can really rule over. The intolerance from the Jewish community now, and the way in which they are framing things in the media, has simply gotten out of hand. I saw two stories this week. Two. These stories revolved around a black family in Oregon. 9 people were arrested because they were basically harassing some black guys on the beach. Now, none of us would want to actually advocate for this type of stuff necessarily, right? But how many black on white crimes, how many black on white harassment things do we witness, and the Jewish press says absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. So we are supposed to read into this what? That Jews are culpable because they didn't speak up. If Jews don't want to speak up, shouldn't they be held responsible since they have the moral authority and they have the moral background and they have all of these assets in which to deploy, yet they're always silent? Again, the real enemy will remain Jewish influence. And if you don't like that, that's too bad. Because that's the truth. It's Jewish influence. The problem you have in the West is Jewish influence. Why else do Jews cry and whine about anti-Semitism every day? Because they understand they are the problem. It isn't the anti-Semitism so much, it's the behavior of Jews, right? You catch anti-Semitism from Jews, so therefore the problem is Jews. You cannot be anti-Semitic without Jews. So the problem must be Jews. Now, I would love to see Jews come out and say, pedophilia is wrong. We need to rout everybody. We need to arrest them all. But you won't hear that from the Jewish community. We would love to hear Jews come out and say, you know what? All of this immigration is destroying white America, but you won't hear that because they want to see white America destroyed. Isn't that right? Why don't you just, I'm right, right? See, I'm not even being outlandish anymore. I'm just being basically down to earth common sense with what's going on in our world today. I have no idea again what's happening with this NFL story, but it says, quoting here, there's a common misbelief. Well, no, it's not a misbelief. Again, just reverse it. Again, another lie. I can see it's a lie from straight up. It says here, among black and brown people, misbelief among black and brown people, and I know this from growing up in Lakewood, Washington, I've listened to it, that Jewish people are just any other white race. You mix them up with the rest of the majority and don't understand that they're a minority as well. They're not a minority where it counts. Again, this is a lie. Jews are not a minority where it counts. Look at the NFL. How many Jewish ownership? How much Jewish ownership is in the NFL? Are they a minority there? No, they're not a minority. How about you go to the JBA? Jews call it the JBA in their own little secret little world because they know Jews control the NBA. They're not a minority in this circumstance. Look at the banking. Jews are not a minority here. Look at education. Look at the press. Jews are not a minority here. And they're not white for sure. And they're anti-white. In fact, they hate America. Jews hate the United States. Jews hate you for your freedoms. That should be what you've learned from COVID-19. That Jews hate you for your freedoms. See, George Bush Jr. here, when he was talking about how Jews hate you for action, and say Jews, but he said the terrorists hate you for your freedoms. Well, he wasn't kidding. He was right. Jews hate you for your freedoms. And let Jews convince me otherwise, because they can't do it, because we know it's true. It's the Fetch, everybody, inside the Eye Live. Prime time, back with more after this.
And welcome back, everybody. It's the Fetch Inside the Eye Live. Prime time. It is again Thursday the 9th. It's 2020. It's actually the 10th here. 2 o'clock in the morning, but we actually don't mind the 1 to 3 show. I don't like the 2 to 4 shows come winter time, but, this is doable. I don't mind this so much. So guys, welcome back. I hope you had a great day. Hope you had a great holiday last weekend. For those of you in the States, it seems like, for the most part, people celebrate a little bit. I saw a video coming out of Los Angeles, I believe, and it was from a helicopter. And the amount of illegal fireworks being just blown up into the air was absolutely phenomenal, quite frankly. And good to see. It's good to see the American people just saying, hell no, we don't want anything to do with this new quote-unquote normal. I saw, like, Governor Gavin Newsom is his name, I guess. Complaining that, you know, they're going to go out and start arresting scofflaws who aren't wearing masks. And I'll tell you, this has come down to a situation now where people, I am so pleased to see some of the American people starting to shove and push back. It needs to be heavier. It needs to be harder. To the leftists out there, I really hope they keep everything in the cities. Just keep burning up your cities. We don't care. Truck drivers, stop serving these cities until these mayors and others. America should start boycotting, literally, these leftist strongholds just as surely as Jews demand that we boycott everything that Jews do not like. Again, if they're going to take cancel culture to a degree to which everything becomes canceled, then we need to take this mindset, regard it as a declaration of war, and start cutting off wherever we can. Again, you guys do have numbers out there. You are not the minority yet. You have strength if you can obviously keep educating, bringing people to your side. But I have heard some very disturbing things about America, and they're just saying that people just don't get it. You know, I was talking to a guy this past Monday, and I was, you know, he's a conservative guy, older guy. He's certainly a First Amendment, Second Amendment advocate, and certainly within that realm. And I was explaining stuff that we normally talk about here on Inside the Eye Live, and to my surprise, he didn't know about any of this stuff. I'm like, wow. But I'll tell you what, just keep giving information, keep going out there, keep talking, because your enemy is, again, these people are pretty vile from a civilized point of view. You know, a lot of us in the European community, we are being literally raked over the coals, as it might have been said some 20, 30 years ago. And it's not. It's completely unjustified. It's uncalled for. It's dishonest. It's unethical. It's really just a means by which these failures want to essentially get advantage through unethical and dishonest means. And that's really what we are witnessing here. We are watching this constant parade of unethical, dishonest behavior being pushed out or pressed into the public in a way that seeks advantage over those of us who simply are here because we worked hard equally. Look, when you look at the 98%, there's no real difference between a lot of us. Now, if you're a ghetto gangbanger or you're a leftist nutcase and nobody wants you because you're just intolerable, that's not our fault. It's not our fault that you can't hold down a decent job. It's not our fault that you have no marketable, bankable skills. It's not our fault that you think that the LGBT, celebrating LGBTQ history is going to be the greatest thing since sliced cheese. None of this will serve you in the future because nothing here is created. The LGBTQ community cannot create. It can only destroy. Jewish community cannot create. It can only destroy. It's a victimhood mentality, even though they have all the advantage and privilege in the world. Nobody has more privilege than blacks right now in America, the LGBT community, and Jews. Yet they're the ones that are claiming everybody else is privileged. Imagine, BLM leader up in Toronto calls whites subhuman. Straight up. Now, this is a political leader. Subhuman. Now, if I'm a political leader and I call Jews subhuman, do you really think that, and I have power, I actually have an organization, do you really think I'm going to be able to get away with that for long? Or do you think that Jews are going to bring their cancel culture to bear against me and they're going to have me destroyed, just literally drilled out of whatever it is I'm trying to do? Of course they are. So here they say in here, the BLM leader says, whites are subhuman and blacks are superhumans. Okay, I'm ready to tell BLM and Jews, let's separate. You Jews and you blacks, you go to your own little distinct geographical area and let's see what you can create with your little, because I know Jews will be the organizers. They're not going to get their fingers dirty, right? Their precious little fingernails are worth too much money. So they're not going to work. They don't know how to work. They know how to steal. They know how to scheme, but they don't know how to work. So they're not going to develop or build anything. We already know what blacks will build on their own because we've seen what they've been handed in America. Detroit come to mind, guys. Baltimore come to mind. Tennessee, Memphis come to mind. Atlanta. Any of these cities come to mind? You see what Jews, what blacks are going to do to these cities and what they've already done. Look at what they did to Rhodesia. Look at what they're doing right now to the former, and it should be called the former South Africa. Because it's no longer South Africa as South Africa was created. It's the former South Africa. Yeah, this is superhuman, Miss whatever your name is. Awesome stuff, man. We're so impressed. We're so impressed with you going around with your little thugs telling people to beg down, get down on their knees and kiss your little toes. What a sleaze bag that is. You're so pathetic. You're actually requiring people to do that and demanding it. As whites, you know what? We ain't got time to look at that because we see you as subhuman if that's the way you're going to work. If that's the way you're going to view things, you know what? This is so stupid, such a waste of time. Most of us in the white community, quite frankly, in the builder side of things, in the reason side, in the rational side, that is so below us, you don't even understand how low you appear to us. Because we're off thinking how to build 10 times, 20 times, 100 times beyond. And all you can think about is people bowing down to Black Lives Matter. Are you guys idiots? Seriously. And you're up there talking about how you're superhumans and that's your exalted thing. The fact of the matter is Black Lives Matter will build nothing. The Jewish community in America, as you can see, builds nothing. Now this woman, Yusra Kogali, she basically has a amount of, I guess you could say, clout inside of the Black Lives Matter orbit here. But according to the Toronto Sun, She's the co-founder of Black Lives Matter in Toronto. It's the organization's official chapter in Canada, which is Canada's largest city also. And she's also a poster child for why conservatives, quite frankly, don't necessarily believe the transnational Black Lives Matter organization. Because, quite frankly, we view them as essentially a political organization that is racist and hates pretty much everybody but themselves. Tell you, I can't imagine this. She would actually say something like that. But she goes on to say something like this. Oops, might help if you don't block it. Says here, this is Jewish black genius, okay? It says here, see if I can get this to post. Hold on 1 second. This is why the indigeneity of humanity comes from blackness. We are the first and the strongest of all humans, and our genetics are the foundation of all humanity. Melanin is essential for the efficient performance of all the body natural functions. Therefore, white people are recessive genetic defects. And then goes on to state that this is factual. Then she says white people need white supremacy as a mechanism to protect blah, 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 blah. Now, here's the reality of it. We don't care about you people. We will do our own thing and we will be superior to you by our natural abilities, by our genetic makeup. I am all for anybody going out and doing something better to better humanity. That didn't say it sound right, but I am all for anybody going out to essentially better themselves and better humanity. I don't care where you're from. I believe in all people raising themselves up because I do believe somewhat in this idea of a fallen state of mankind. That essentially Humpty Dumpty has fallen and to put it all back together again is impossible, but we can do the best we can to raise up our own people to the best of our abilities. I know I do not want ever to raise myself up at the expense of somebody else. This is simply wrong. I don't mind competing, and if we win, we win. But I don't want to use a situation or involve myself in a situation where I'm purposely or willfully trying to harm somebody to just better myself. To me, these are cheap victories. To cheaters, this is admirable, but I'm not Jewish, okay? I'm not black. I don't believe in this way. I believe in a whole different ethical moral system, of which the Black Lives Matter people and their Jewish co-sponsors, and nowadays, as we see by the media and by major corporations, they no longer care in fairness or care about fairness either. So we understand now that essentially these people who claim their racial superiority are actually morally decrepit and inferior people. They deserve nothing. They deserve no quarter. They deserve no fairness. But I'm not saying go out of your way to cheat them. But understand that if they come knocking on your door like the Grim Reaper, you have a right, and indeed a moral obligation, to defend yourself and your society from these disgusting, low-life, communist heathens. Because that's what they are. They're not civilized. They're garbage. This is a garbage mentality, a garbage people. You go out there and say, oh, us black people are superhumans. Have you ever heard me in 8 years ever talking that pathetic, quite frankly, about Western civilization? Have you ever heard me use this type of vulgar insanity? Never, ever, in all my years on the radio, in all of my years of writing, I have never taken that approach. Part of it is because, unlike this Toronto BLM founder, who has no morality, no integrity, no brains, and even less knowledge about traditional Western systems. She's not rooted in reason. She's not rooted in rationalism. She has no understanding of the classics. She has no understanding of our Western esoteric systems. She's basically, if she wants to take this attitude, barely above the apes of the fields from a pure metaphysical construction. And to those of you who understand precisely what I just said, you know I am speaking the truth. This woman is barely above the apes of the fields. She's an animal. You want to take this way seriously. Those of you who understand in a very real way the Western esoteric traditions here, you're almost at a crossroads now where you have a right to invoke some of the ancient systems that allows you to take on the lower earth forms. Because otherwise, these lower earth forms, they will simply bring the entire human construction back down to a level which has taken many of us through the generations. And I'm talking about thousands of years. So much time and effort to raise up. Can we really say from an intellectual perspective, from the idea of raising people up, and you can go into the Masonic schools, the Rosicrucian schools, the Baconian schools, and you, if your understanding of really some of their principles there, can you really, really say that this type of human, that the Jews and all their cancel culture, that the Antifa nutcases and the LGBT clowns, can we really say that they have the capacity to raise up mankind? And are we really simply to abandon humanity per se to this type of animal, this type of vulgar human? See, we in the West actually do have a superior intellectual esoteric system. It's not taught too much anymore. Very few people understand it. But it is far exceeding anything these decrepit, barely above human animals that claim their superhumanness can ever even approach to grasp. You know, I've been around this type of racist black people because they're everywhere. Let's be honest. They are everywhere. You give a black person a little bit of education and they think they know the entire world. I was, case in point, I'll share a story with you. There's a hotel called, I think it's called the Wilshire, I forget the name. It's been so many years. But it's Wilshire Hilton or Wilshire Weston or something like that. But anyways, it's in Koreatown, just west of Western Avenue, to be exact, on Wilshire Boulevard in Los Angeles. And I was there after work. I went down to watch back then a Laker game. And as you can imagine, the Lakers in Los Angeles is a pretty big event, especially back in the 90s. And you had right around 8 to 12 black guys there, and I was the only white guy there. And I was sitting behind them, and they were all taking the seats towards the television. It was a fairly large television. And the entire time, they were talking about Whitey this and Whitey that and Whitey this and Whitey that. And they all think they know Whitey and Whitey, 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 Whitey. The whole conversation was about Whitey. I'm a white guy sitting there. Now, in today's world, we would all got no huffed up and puffed up and, oh, I'm so offended you're talking about Whitey like that. And I just listened for probably 30 minutes. And finally, they just kept going on because they really thought they understood Whitey. And I finally just had the nerve. I said, you know what, guys? I've been listening to half. I really did this. 8 to 12 black guys. And I said, you know, I'm only just right behind them. It's like I didn't exist. And I said to these guys, I said, you know, made sure they heard me. I said, you know, I've been listening to you guys talk about Whitey for the last half hour. And I said, to be honest, you don't know the first thing about Whitey. You don't know a damn thing about Whitey at the level you think you understand. And that stopped them dead in their tracks. And one of the guys, his name was Joshua. Is it Joshua or Jeremiah? I think it was Jeremiah. It was a very long name. It's got to be Jeremiah. I remember because it was very biblical. And he turned around and he looked at me. And he said something like, excuse me. I said, yes. I said, you black people, you don't even know the first thing about Whitey. You think you do, but you don't understand how our brain actually functions at the elite level. You guys are so deluded, it's almost embarrassing listening to you for the past half hour. Then I shared with this guy some of the Isisian codes. I said, this is how the construction starts to work. This is how we actually program the language that you are using right now that you don't even understand the first thing about its construction. So do you really think you're going to use my language with my esoteric construction and that somehow you're going to be superior to those of us who created the very language you are using? Do you really think that we are that stupid? Because I've been listening to you for half an hour and you really think that Whitey's stupid. I said, just because some Whiteys don't understand things, don't think that you grasp what Whitey really knows. And he listened and he watched the presentation. He says, so are you telling me that you white people have everything organized and structured down to every single letter and how each word is put into place? I said, yes, I am saying that. And I'm saying it's a lot more complicated than that. That this is all based on an actual esoteric system that we can actually use to follow and read people and understand how they're thinking and understand the various permutations within which to solve certain parameters or permutations that may come our way. I said, we're not stupid people. We did not build America because of we're stupid. We did not travel the world because we're stupid. We didn't go settle Australia, New Zealand, and Canada and America because we were stupid. We didn't take over half of the world like parts of China and India and other parts of the world because we were stupid. I said, what made you actually think that they're stupid, that a stupid people can do that? Do you really think, and nothing against the Kenyans, but do you really think the Kenyans had the wherewithal to go do what the British were able to do? Do you really think that the Chinese, with all of their genius here, were actually able to do what we were able to do over the past 400 years? And yet you want to sit there and always fault Whitey. Whitey, 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 Whitey. If you don't like it, try another society. Try to figure it out by yourself and build one yourself. Because as a quote-unquote a white person who is not so unsophisticated in the esoteric world, I get so tired of watching these idiots complaining all the time. But now the idiots have been able to gain enough strength and take to the streets that they have become a danger to the great work itself. Who really are the subhumans here? What do you think that this idiot running a Black Lives Matter, woo, can ever accomplish, really, from an actual creation point of view? What type of thing can she leave behind? Nothing. She doesn't have the brains within which to even begin to think how the structure is actually built, how to begin to put something that is at a higher esoteric order and begin to place it into words, into stone, into architecture. She wouldn't know the first thing about that because she's so stupid. And through doing this process, we are actually able to build eventually entire civilizations. for too long now. We have heard and listened to Jews whining about Whitey. We have been listening to so many people whine. Makes you want some cheese, huh? It's the Fetch, everybody. Back with the final half hour right after this. Okay, everybody. Welcome back. It's the Fetch Inside the Eye Live primetime. Again, it's Thursday, July 9, 2020. Hope everything, really honest, I really hope everything is going well with you and yours. You know, we have been having somewhat of a good time here. Between Saudi and the Philippines, you know, just to kind of share a little bit of private stuff here. Everything for us is going very, very well. Honestly, everything is going exceptionally well. In fact, I heard, Emily was telling me the other day, you know, because of the COVID-19, she says, you know, after COVID finishes, we're going to be doing great. And I said, please don't think that the COVID is going to end. Start working under the assumption that COVID will be here forever and start to work a way around the governments, because the governments are not going to tolerate any type of movement. Now, I'm not talking quite that way to her, but essentially what I see happening out there, certain governments are under the control of the World Health Organization. And because of that, you've got a situation where they're just not going to move simply because the World Health Organization and Gates says, no, you can't move. Now, until the people understand that, they're basically going to be screwed. So you're going to have to start working under this assumption that this will never end. And that's kind of what I see happening, unfortunately, for the Philippines. I don't think that this government, if you want to put it under huge quotation marks, for me, it's almost like a bunch of children not understanding the greater conspiracy. I think a lot of these people just don't understand what really is at play. But the United States, we get it. We understand something is very sinister. A lot of people don't like Trump. I get that. And Trump has been a huge failure in some areas. But again, it is what it is after 4 years, you know. So starting today, the Trump administration now has formally notified the United Nations of its decision to withdraw the United States from the World Health Organization. Now, this is formal. Now, the U.S. has accused, that's the language being used here, the WHO, which is World Health Organization, of siding with China on the outbreak of the virus, which originated in the Chinese city of Wuhan late last year, alleging the health body misled the world, resulting in deaths of over 500,000 people globally, including some 130,000 in the United States. Now, that's how the article is being written. A lot of us understand that even all of this is fake. The numbers aren't that high in the United States by any stretch of the imagination. They're just not. They're just simply not all that high. But that's how it's, again, being reported. Anyways, let's go out to the phones. 954 area code. Hi, welcome to Inside the Eye Live. Prime time.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, welcome back.
Yeah, I heard you talking earlier about, you know, the Black Lives Matter and just how, you know, kind of outrageous it is. And it occurred to me that, you know, what they're doing is they're going after the wrong people, really. And I'm not sure if I've said this before on your show, but I did mention that, you know, obviously the main people who were behind the financing and the owning of the ships were actually the Jews. Again, it's all written down. It's all in the records of the ports. You can find the port records. They just to maintain them. And they're actually asking us to give them reparations when really, in effect, they should be. I don't have the capacity. I'm not that tech savvy, but it seems like anyone listening to this show or whatever, they should try to get into some of these Black Lives Matter, you know, chat rooms, blogs, whatever, however they operate, and say, hey, do you understand, you know, that if you're really seeking true reparations from the people that really owe it to you, you need to go and do some research on the slave trade and find out that, in fact, you could be going after the, Israel, who has a lot of money, because we give it to them, of course, Then, of course, the American Jewish population is usually fairly well healed. And the outrage would be if you could point it out to them that you're seeking reparations for something that really happened, and all these Jews have been collecting money for the Holocaust, and it never happened. If you could get it across to them that these guys have got so much chutzpah, they're actually getting money for how many decades for a thing that never happened, that they've made up, and they're the very ones that brought you here, and you're not getting a penny. And if somehow that could be put into their conversation, maybe they'd start, you know, maybe going after the right people. And I'm not advocating it, but I don't know why they wouldn't go start burning down synagogues, you know, maybe going after these Holocaust memorials because of the fraud that's been perpetuated on them, and they are the ones who were responsible for the misery of being transported from one continent to another.
Yeah, obviously the whole idea of reparations needs to end. You know, these are, the British actually, they paid. They didn't finish paying off they actually did agree to pay reparations, okay? And they finished paying, I think, just a few years ago, like 2017, something like that. They had been paying for like 150 years, for their role in slavery. They actually did pay. And Americans, no, I don't think so. But, you know, this is all politics. Let's be honest. BLM is just a front for Jewish politics. To me, BLM is just another Jewish front. It's just another Jewish-controlled front. So, obviously, they're not going to go after themselves. That doesn't mean they shouldn't. Yeah. We shouldn't be educated people about this. Hey, I agree with the tactic overall. But the reality is it's a Jewish organization.
Well, this would operate outside of it because if they could find out, hey, these guys that are basically funding us. And I think that I heard something, maybe you know more about it, but I thought that there was some gargantuan amount of money that had been donated to BLM, probably from a lot of well-meaning white people who are, you know, sympathetic and they believe Black Lives Matter. And I thought it actually got diverted.
Yeah, it all is.
Into the Democratic.
Yes, it's true. I brought that up. It goes to the DNC, and I don't believe it's well-meaning white people. I think it's just a way to get around Federal Election Commission laws. They're basically laundering money.
Yeah.
It's just the money laundering scheme.
You can only buy so many bricks and gasoline, and then the rest of it must go somewhere else. You know?
Yeah. So, no, I really think it's basically money laundering. And because we have a very weak Justice Department, nobody's going after this. But it should probably have been shut down a long time ago. A lot of this GoFundMe stuff is simply money laundering. You know, do this for us. You're going to take a hit. But don't worry. We'll pay you through GoFundMe. But the legitimate people get deplatformed. They don't allow that money through. GoFundMe says, no, you can't raise money for that. But at the same time, they're allowing so much money to come through for all these various, quote-unquote, crimes that are happening to people, you know, and it's basically a lot of hoaxes.
Yeah. Years ago, I was reading something about when, you know, slavery was discontinued. I think slavery was outlawed sometime in the 1830s, actually. Britain outlawed slavery. And then I read something, and again, it'd have to be backed up because I just read it once and I just kind of remember it. And they said when the British, all throughout the British Empire, slavery was discontinued, and the people who owned slaves were basically under law forced to, I think they called it manumit the slaves, set them free. I read that, I remember something like around, they were paid £7, and they had to release their slave, and they were given £7. Now, that's just what my memory brings me. And as I recall, the same article said, oh, and guess who made the loan to the British government to manumit all the slaves? It was a Rothschild loan at interest. I don't know if you ever
that may have been just what was finished being paid off just about 2 to 5 years ago. That's probably the same event I'm talking about.
Had, it wasn't a direct payment. I think it was, okay, you have to let the slave go, but here's something for your troubles.
No, look into it. There is something that the British did, the government did, and they didn't finish paying off the darn thing until just a few years ago. And it may actually be what you're referring to. So they made interest for the past 150 years on that dang deal.
Yeah, 1831 or 1835.
Yes, yes, yes.
Hey, that's
yes.
pretty good business.
Yeah, I think that may actually be what I'm talking about here.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah. Well, I know no people directly got any money. I don't know any blacks who ever got checks. Like, the Jews actually get checks. Many years ago, I met a very wealthy man from England, and he was Jewish, and we got talking, and it was an interesting situation, and he said that he was a diamond merchant. He said he was fifth generation diamond merchant, and he was British, very British. And I remember his name was René Dubb, interestingly enough. And he had been married to the Cadbury candy heiress for a while. And he literally told me, he says, no, I belong to the Diamond Club. I can either sell my diamonds individually. They deliver me a bag of diamonds. I can assay each one individually and really expound on my profits, or I can just throw them over to another Jew. He'll wholesale them for me and give me the money. And he was also collecting reparations from the Germans.
Yeah, there's been so much fraud in that thing. You know, the Germans themselves have been stupid enough to pay it. And nobody ever demanded any proof of anything, if you know what I mean. They're just paying whatever. So the whole thing is, I don't know, you know what I mean, but just the fraud coming from the Jewish community on this is mind-boggling, quite frankly. Chutzpah beyond belief.
Well, if they ever had to pay it back, in other words, if the fraud was actually declared, I think it would probably bankrupt Israel. We probably have to give them the money to pay everybody back.
Mm. Yeah, I think in today's world of reparations, we should, like the Schiff family, which would include the Schiff guy in the Congress, you know, he's part of the Schiff family. All of his wealth should be taken away from him and re-given to the Russian people, for instance, for all the Schiff financing of the Bolshevik Revolution, for instance. You know, if we're really going to play this game hardball, then the Jewish people should be bankrupted. Bottom line, they should be bankrupted because that's how they made their money, was on death and, you know, all of this type of crimes against humanity. They don't make anything. They're basically politicians going from country to country like vagabonds, creating all kinds of mayhem and stealing the wealth.
Yeah. Well, we'll be the last country to throw them out if we ever do. Hopefully we will. Because the previous country to us that actually got their fangs out of its neck was Germany, and of course they got demolished.
Yeah, they came and then also
they graduated here.
Well, not just that, but we got a million Russian Jews also. After Putin started to take over, the Jews got a lot of their good people out and sent them to America and to Israel.
Yeah, well, you have a bunch of them here where I live, down in Miami. There's a huge contingent of Russian Jews.
Mm, yeah.
I mean, they speak Russian in Sunny Isles Beach, which is basically Miami. You can go there, all you hear is Russian.
So, just have to wonder what's the politics like down there, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Is it super hyper pro-Israel?
I'm not too sure. I've worked down in that end of the world for several months at a time on jobs, and there's a lot of what you'd call traditional Jews in northern Miami Beach. You know, they're walking along with their kids, and they've got the full get-up on.
Yeah, the Halloween costumes. Yes,
but they're not. But they're not the Russian Jews. No, there's a contingent of Russian Jews that are just north Miami Beach. It's a really small world, but it's if you just keep going up the beach strip, you'll hit a place called Sunny Isles, and Sunny Isles is absolutely loaded with Russian Jews.
Hmm.
And
well,
to
we
the
got
point where you could walk around and that's all they speak.
Yeah, well, we got a million of them. after the Soviet Union fell and then Putin started to consolidate power, we ended up taking close to 1 million of those guys. So yeah, you can imagine how much money they took.
Well, they originally came into Long Island, right? I'm trying to think of the name of that little town in Long Island, and then they spread down to here.
Well, everyone wants out of New York, man. New York's terrible. It'll be interesting to see what happens in the next year or so when all of this coronavirus mayhem really plays out with state budgets. You know, they're still working, but it's going to be interesting, to be honest. I'm kind of curious to see how it plays out. All right. Thanks so much.
We're on new ground for sure.
Thank you. Okay. Thanks for the call. Again, guys, telephone line is 1-323-275-1314. That's 1-323-275-1314. You know, we were talking before the phone call how the United States has withdrawn from the World Health Organization. You know, we had given as Americans $450 million to the World Health Organization. But that's not where it should stop there. We should be passing laws that prevent any American citizen from giving money to that organization. We should view in a very real way the World Health Organization as a terrorist organization. It is run by an avowed terrorist from Ethiopia. That's pretty well documented fact. So we should view the World Health Organization as a terrorist organization, and no American should be able to support the World Health Organization at all. Lots of information, not information, lots of research should be going on into what exactly Tony Fauci and Gates and all of this dirty little circle. Because I hear so many things. In fact, just today, you know, here in Saudi, they've got a great e-commerce program here. They can afford it and they've deployed it. So every day or every other day, you get a Ministry of Health, text message to your cell phone. And today they're talking about something, you know, follow these things, wash your hands, do this. But never yet have I heard a single health organization out there say anything about just common sense boost of your immune system. I did see something out of the Philippines, surprisingly, and they said, do this if you feel you're getting coronavirus. And the funny thing is, they were talking about increasing your pH levels, getting your pH levels high above 7.2. They're not saying that, but they're saying eat this. pH is 13.5. Eat this. pH is 7.7. Eat this. pH is, you know, 11.2. And really all they're saying is how to increase your pH level. And the pH level, as we know, the coronavirus is not going to survive. The coronavirus is not going to survive in a high is it alkaline level? I don't know. Above 7.2. I don't know if it's, I think it's alkaline level. Anyways, with the U.S. withdrawing from WHO and formally doing that, it says here, Trump, it says, I can say that on 6th of July, 2020, the United States of America notified the Secretary General in his capacity as depository of the 1946 Constitution of the World Health Organization of its withdrawal from the WHO effective 6th July 2021, said Stephane Dujarric, spokesman for the UN Secretary General, in a statement. So this is going down at the same time you had, where did that go? You have Todoros was supposed to be in a meeting this week with somewhere in the UK. He actually withdrew from that meeting here. So things are changing slowly. We need to get rid of the World Health Organization. The World Health Organization is one of these transnationalist organizations that, quite frankly, is working very effectively to destroy the human family in a very real way. In other words, the way we're able to travel, the way we're able to do business with each other. The World Health Organization should be seen as a terrorist organization. And to say that they have not terrorized many people here on planet Earth would be a misstatement by a huge degree here. Meanwhile, Britain, the UK, is going to be opting out of EU coronavirus vaccine schemes because they're afraid that Brussels would leave the UK people in the back of the queue getting their doses. And it's like, well, that's probably a good thing because obviously these people don't know what they're doing. It says here the European Commission invited the UK to join the new EU vaccine strategy, which aims to secure advanced agreements with manufacturers to provide tens of millions of doses to member states. Imagine tens of millions of people they intend to poison with their vaccines. Now, ministers had been interested in the scheme because of the potential economies of scale. And as we want to poison our people for as cheap as possible. But Brussels ruled that because of Brexit, the UK would be barred from attending the scheme's steering committees. Join us, but you can't be a part of the committee. Meaning Britain would have no say in the strategy, but they were being invited to come in and basically pay for their share within it, but they couldn't say anything. So the UK would also have been barred from holding discussions with any vaccine developer in talks with the EU. Now, one source said the EU terms were pretty extraordinary. We would have had to agree to give them exclusive rights to negotiate on our behalf, but unlike other members of the scheme, we would have had no say over which companies they negotiated with, what price they agreed, the number of doses, or the delivery schedule. In other words, this is a massive taxpayer fraud scam that they are putting in play here. Earlier this year, ministers were accused of anti-Brussels bias when they failed to join the EU procurement scheme to buy ventilators. Again, ventilators were proven now to essentially be death machines. So it's probably a good thing if you avoided the ventilator situation way back then. Another interesting development is that Harvard, I think it was Harvard, they made a statement this week that they are going to cancel their classes for 2020. And once they went out and canceled their they're not canceling. What they're doing, and again, education, higher education, is a complete failure relative to the current U.S. model. We have a 130-to-1 leftist liberal nutcase professor ratio to conservative professors. Mind you, I've been in the education world for a long time, guys. Now, I can say I've been there. I am at the forefront, no kidding, about blended learning. That is face-to-face teaching along with online education. I'm at the forefront. Perhaps I'm one of the best guys here in the Middle East about it if I really want to put my mind to it. There may not be any better. Quite honest, I'm kind of telling you the truth here because I know what I do, obviously, when it comes to an online component. Imagine, not many people teaching have the skills that we possess here. You guys kind of get that now listening to the show. Plus, classroom presence, bar none. It doesn't work that well to go peer online. It's virtually impossible to hold 25, 35, 40 students. You cannot see their eyes. You cannot see their motivation. You cannot see where somebody might need help, where somebody might be a little bit confused. Can you learn online? 100% you can learn online. 100%. But the problem with online is you don't have anybody really to talk to if you're having a little bit of confusion. You don't have a way to really interject and ask questions because the technology, quite frankly, is too slow. It's just too slow. The medium's too slow. It's like chatting back and forth. You can't read. You can't anticipate. It's too slow. Furthermore, people want to often use like cell phones. You can't conduct a legitimate situation on your cell phones. So if you're going to go 100% online, you don't need to be here. Okay? You really don't need. You can teach from Hawaii. You can teach from South Africa. You can teach from India. You can teach from anywhere. And guess what? That's what they're doing. Certain elements are actually being taught from all over the place. Wow, we're out of time. I'm sorry. We're going to have to not take that call. We're out of time. It's the Fetch, everybody. Back. See you Saturday. I didn't realize we ran out of time. See you Saturday inside the Eye Live. Wow. That was a fast show. All right. See you guys. Good night from Riyadh. Bye bye.